the man, the myth, the legend, Steve Sands, who joins us on Extra 1360. Sands, I very much appreciate your time. Thank you for doing this yet again.
Anytime, Joe. It was great to meet you in person, finally, and see Marty again. First time in about 12 or 15 years. And, man, a lot. You guys weren't joking about that cheeseburger. That's like as good a cheeseburger as I've ever had in my life. And for the record, because I know Mark the Mailman is watching and listening to all this, we had a little bit more than just a couple of beers. So it was good. It was a good night.
It was a great night, too. And Rockies loved having you there. They were thrilled that you showed up, that you ate what many consider to be the best burger in all of San Diego, Sansi. And by the way, though, we're still pissed off at you because you picked up the check. You snaked us on that. You're not supposed to do that. You're in our city. We're supposed to pay the bill. But thank you for that as well.
Oh, stop. Don't be silly. It was my pleasure. It was a lot of fun to get you and Marty out. It was good. And by the way, forget what you just said about Rockies. Nobody cares that I was in there. You guys are the stars. I was just kind of hanging out, watching a little hoop. By the way, we saw some good hoops in hockey that night, too.
Yes, we did. We had a fun night. We had a really, really fun night. It made me wish that you actually lived out here. Why don't you move out here? Do what John Rahm did. Just figure out a way to make this your permanent home.
So can I tell you something? I just heard that clip. By the way, I now have something in common with Tim Kirchin. I've never had a cup of coffee in my life either.
What?
I don't like
in
coffee.
The world?
Yeah,
how do you get into this business if you've never had coffee?
I love the smell of it. Love the smell of it. Like coffee ice cream, coffee candy, like coffee out of a cup. I don't like coffee at all. Never had a cup of coffee in my life. Can't stand it. So wait, John Rahm does. I heard that clip you guys had, and I love Marty's idea. I think she's right. They ought to put up a big thing from John Rahm mural at the airport. It'd be fantastic to welcome in everybody when they fly into beautiful San Diego. But I said to John afterwards, and I wasn't joking. We were off camera, obviously, and I said, I got news for you, pal. Everybody feels great when they land in San Diego. I mean, San Diego is as nice a place as there is in all of the United States. So it was a great week, and it was started off by seeing you two guys and hanging out. It was a lot of fun.
Well, how did we do as a U.S. Open city? You know, and you're kind to say that sort of stuff. I'm sure people who are listening, Steve, they very much appreciate that. There's an incredible amount of pride in this city. And certainly in Torrey Pines as well. You go and you travel all around the world to cover golf, to cover sports. You're going to be in Tokyo. You're going to be there for the Olympics. I mean, like, literally your career has shipped you all over the world. How do we do as a host town, especially for this event?
Absolutely spectacular. It's fabulous. You had two epic U.S. Opens. The one in 2008 will almost never be matched in our lifetime based upon who was involved and what took place that Sunday and then on to Monday in the playoff with Tiger and Rocco. And then you had a world-class player win yesterday after a phenomenal 4 days of golf. And the town itself is ready. We talked about this when we were out at Rockies. Just, you know, losing the Chargers, losing sports, makes people realize just how important sports is. Mm-hmm. And you guys, Southern California, San Diego specifically, put on a great show. For the second time in 13 years, there is absolutely no reason that the USGA does not go back there and have Torrey Pines host again and have the whole city of San Diego get jacked up. The atmosphere was fantastic, Darren. The people were great. You know, the restaurants were lively. The bars were hopping. The hotels, there's plenty of space, plenty of, you know, infrastructure in that city to host a huge event like the USGA wants to host with its U.S. Open. I think it's a fabulous place, and I would love, love to see it be on the regular rotation and not have to wait 13 more years for another one.
All right. Do you think we have a shot at that happening? I mean, do you have anybody with the USGA that you can slip that into their ears?
Listen, I've talked to a lot of guys at the USGA the last 4 days, and most importantly there, and I've talked to the players, and the players will all tell you that the golf course setup was perfect. The town's great. It's a wonderful climate to play in June. You could go to some really hot, humid places this time of year. And the golf course held up. It was great. You know, it was absolutely great. It could not have worked out any better. I'm sure some other players would have loved to have won it. But as far as the city being ready to host an event of that stature and the golf course holding up against the best players in the world this time of year as opposed to in January when they're playing the Farmers Insurance Open, I think it's an absolute home run. I can't wait to get back there. Hopefully I get that assignment in January, get back there and Go have another cheeseburger. Is it Mikey behind the bar? Who's that? Was that our guy Mikey behind the bar?
That was our guy Mikey, yeah, who wanted to talk a little bit of Mets baseball and St. John's basketball. So yeah, he's all about that. A little bit of G as well. Steve Sands, Golf Channel, NBC Sports, joining us on Extra 1360. And you said that the players really loved it, too. That includes Mackenzie Hughes. That includes Bryson DeChambeau, some of the guys that really struggled down the back nine yesterday. Boy, we saw some stuff, didn't we?
Oh, my gosh. It was carnage, Darren. But you know what? That's what a U.S. Open does. That's what a major championship does. The pressure ratchets up, and you really separate yourself when you can handle it. You know, between the ears, above the collarbones, that's when sports really, you know, that's when athletes really rise to the top. Look at Ben Simmons yesterday. I mean, just shrunk in the moment. You know, he's a very talented player. Mackenzie Hughes and Russell Henley did not do what Ben Simmons did yesterday with that Sixers Game 7 with the Hawks. They were in that for the first time, and they don't have teammates to pick them up or coaches to call timeouts. They were in there for the first time. They did not perform great, obviously up to their standard, but it was a learning experience for those two. And they're also looking on a leaderboard and playing alongside DeChambeau, who folded at the end. McIlroy, who did not play well coming down the stretch. Morikawa is a major champion, didn't play well coming down the stretch. Brooks Koepka is a two-time U.S. Open winner, a four-time major champion. He was in the mix, didn't play great coming down the stretch, and Jon Rahm won it. You know, a lot of times in golf, we talk about this, Darren. You and I have done this for a long, long time on your show. Sometimes you win and lose in sports. There's a huge difference. Yesterday, Jon Rahm went out and won it. Nobody really lost it. The other guys didn't play great coming down the stretch. But John, only the fourth player in the history of the U.S. Open, which is now 121 deep, to finish birdie-birdie to win a U.S. Open. Louis Oosthuizen should be very upset with that finish. Mm. The other guys, you know, have to look at Jon Rahm and say he went after it and he got it.
Right. I mean, and those putts, too, these aren't, you know, hey, get it close to the pin. It's a little bit of a kick-in. You know, very much we've talked a lot now for 13 years about the putt that Tiger Woods made on the 72nd hole. They even put a plaque up there just to commemorate that moment. And he's talked about that, about the bumpy green, et cetera. But the two putts that Rahm makes on 17 and 18, Steve, you know the sport better than anybody. Like, those are not gimmies. Those are the kind of putts that could stress a golfer out. And, man, he just pured them both.
Oh, they were great. You know, in some sense, some guys will tell you that a little bit of a longer putt, Darren, is less nervy than, say, those 5-6 footers, because they can kind of, not freewheel it by any means, but kind of open themselves up a little bit and go after it and be aggressive. But let me tell you, man, some of the texts received from some athletes who were watching the U.S. Open yesterday, they couldn't believe the pressure, the tension, the drama, and then John coming through like that, not just once, but twice. You got to hit great golf shots to put yourself in position to make birdies at the end when it's all on the line and everybody is watching and you know that the pressure's ratcheted up, and he moneyed him twice. I mean, that was not a fluke win. That was a great win, and I think it's going to propel him to even do better things. I think he's going to win a bunch. If he stays healthy and motivated, which I see no reason why he wouldn't, I think Jon Rahm is here to stay, and he's going to be a force in golf for a long, long time.
That was one of the more modest humble brags that I've ever heard on the show. You said you got a bunch of texts from people in the sports world, leading to the question that I need to be nosy about this. Who are you getting texts from that's watching this?
Stop yourself, Darren.
Tiger?
First of all, you guys should know me better than this. I would never brag about anything. I can't stand that. It's not about me. It's about your show, and it's about the athletes we cover. But the appreciation... This sport is so interesting. So you and Marty were giving me a lot of crap the other night because we were chatting and talking about, you know, just a bunch of things in life and how things work. And this sport lends itself to other athletes watching it and playing it, because once their careers are done, they have to have some type of competitive outlet. So it's either golf or tennis. You're not going to just continue to play basketball and football and hockey and baseball the rest of your life. So most guys, they gravitate to golf. And they love watching golf, especially as they get a little bit older, and especially at a major championship like the U.S. Open. But I am not about to talk on the radio publicly about some of the guys who texted yesterday. But suffice to say, It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, well, I know it wasn't Steph Curry because he was there. He was on property yesterday, which I thought was great. Somebody spotted him and posted him on social media, which I thought was great.
That he was. We may have been told that he was going to be there a couple of days earlier than that, yes.
Oh, really? Oh, that would have been nice for you to share that information with us.
Oh, stop. He's a massive golf fan. Massive golf fan. And he would love Darren and Marty. But, you know, you got to let the guy enjoy his privacy and go about his business and be a regular dude. I saw him a couple of weeks ago at the Memorial. The guy loves golf, man. He'll be in Tahoe at the celebrity event in a few weeks. I mean, he loves golf. He's going to play a lot of golf when he hangs up the sneaks.
Steve Sands joining us on Extra 1360. I thought your interview with Rahm, not just because I'm inclined to like Jon Rahm, and you know, you're okay too, but I thought that you know, given the roller coaster ride that he has been on, last time you were on pre-US Open, Steve, you did a great job just talking to us a little bit about the protocols and what happened with Rahm, where he tests positive at the Memorial and they pull him off the golf course after he completes his third round. He's going to walk away winning that tournament, $1.7 million he can never get back. I would expect a guy to be a little bitter, but the way, when you asked him about what the last couple of weeks of his life have been like, really one of the most thoughtful answers I think I've ever heard from any athlete. Maybe, again, this is just the circumstances coming out of COVID, but man, what an answer he gave you when you talked about that situation.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I was thinking, I had spoken to him about, you know, what it was like that day, that weekend. I had not seen him until this past week, and we chatted a little bit earlier in the week. So kind of had it in the memory brain that, you know, in the memory that if he won, you know, and you do this for a living, Darren, you know, that last question, you want that on live TV, you want that last question to be the money question, to be, you know, an emotional one or a big picture one. And I thought, you know what, this is a perfect time to ask him this. And I knew he would go there, and I knew he would allow people in because that's the kind of kid John is, and that's the kind of athlete you want. You want the audience and your fans to kind of know you a little bit. They don't need to know everything about you, but they need to know a little bit because they've been rooting for you competitively, so now they want to get to know you a little bit personally. And I knew he would go there a little bit, but I didn't know he was going to go that deep, and it was great. He's a thoughtful kid. He's learning it. You know, he's only 26, man. You know, he's kind of learning how to handle the attention, how to handle interviews, how to handle the spotlight of being one of the best players, if not the best player on the planet at just 26 years of age. And now that he's a U.S. Open champion, first man from Spain to win that great championship, to do it at Torrey Pines, in that venue, that spotlight, I think that John really understood the moment, and he allowed people in, and I thought that was a really cool thing that he did that.
Yeah, again, he did no bitterness whatsoever, said he understood it, you know, talked a little bit about having symptoms, and you know, a friend of his or an acquaintance of his who's a journalist who passed away from COVID, that all these thoughts went through his mind. Like, he just, I don't know, a lot of people in that situation would have been like, yeah, whatever, that was unfortunate, let's just move on. But, like, he really gave it a lot of thought. He was introspective, which I thought was great. And
well, if you don't believe in karma, Darren, you have to believe in it now, because he basically said karma mattered, and that's one of the reasons that I'm standing there, is what he said yesterday. So I thought it was really cool. I agree with you.
Yeah, and I also thought our friends up in Carlsbad had a great weekend, too. You know, the guys who are from Callaway. You think that was a great moment for Callaway here in San Diego?
Listen, one of the things that happened at the Memorial that was the worst was that Callaway just signed Jon Rahm. It's a local company there in San Diego, and obviously they want their guys to win, so they got a win taken away from them. So now with his new clubs, his new contract, they can now say they have a major champion with those new clubs, and that'll put to rest anybody who thought that the equipment change was going to be a big deal.
Yeah, no doubt. And you know, that's the other part. You mentioned, too, that Louis Oosthuizen probably wakes up today a little bit sick. Was it 17 tee shot 18 on the easiest hole? And then he's sort of sitting there. He's just helpless. He can't do anything with that second shot. You know, he sort of got a lay up in that moment here. Was it 17, more 17, 18, or the combination of both?
Nah, it was 17. That tee shot of 17 was terrible. I love Louis. He's a great guy. You can't make that mistake. And that's the difference. It's a very fine line in sports. And in golf, it's the same. Even though it's an individual sport versus a team sport, it's the same thing. Very fine line. If you're Louis Oosthuizen and you're one back, Jon Rahm's already posted 6 under, and you're sitting at 5 under, and you know 18 is sitting there right in front of you, the one thing you can't do at 17 at Torrey Pines South his go left, and he did, and it cost him the championship. It cost him a chance at the championship.
It's so interesting on the broadcast how often you would see guys when they would know there was trouble, right? Like on 4 or on 17, and you would go, well, they don't care if they push this right, or they don't care how far right they push this. They're not going anywhere and messing around with anything happening out there on the left. And you would see that from DeChambeau to Koepka to everybody else in between, that you would see these guys just go, I'm not messing around with that cliff. I'm not messing around with that canyon, almost to the extreme. And then here he is in that situation, and he finds himself down that hill. Oh, unbelievable.
Somebody once told me in golf years ago, a player who said, we all know where to hit it. The difference between professionals and amateurs, or those professionals who reach the heights of the professional game and the professionals who do not achieve that type of stature, is where to miss. We all know where to go. We want to be in the fairway. We want to be on the green. We want to make putts. Everybody knows that. But if you know where to miss and you miss there, then you still give yourself an opportunity to score. You have no chance of making a 4, basically, if you hit it left. If you hit it right at 17, you have a chance to hit it and to make a 4 and move to the next hole and have a par 5 that's reachable in 2. Should make a birdie there, which he did, and tie and get into a playoff. But if you hit it left at 17 there, and you're in big trouble, and that's what happened to Louis. It's too bad. He's now been a runner-up 6 times in majors. He has the career grand slam of seconds. That's not a mantle that you want.
It was great to meet you. Your guys' coverage all week long was just tremendous. We kept just saying, as we're broadcasting here Thursday, Friday, it's addictive television. The way that the city looked, the way that the golf course looked, it was top drawer across the board. Thank you, by the way. You're very generous to invite us to hook us up with tickets for the Ryder Cup at Whistling Straits. So we'll see you there next time. We're not going to wait another 15 years to actually cross paths. So you remember that, right? You said you were going to hook us up, all-inclusive package to the Ryder Cup in September?
If you're bringing Marty, you're always invited, Darren.
All right. Well, done deal. We'll figure it out. She'll probably go to a Packer game or something like that. We can make that happen. But you are awesome. Great to meet you. Great coverage, most importantly. The right guy, I think, won this weekend. And, Stansy, we appreciate you.
Oh, always good to be with you guys. It was fun to be with you guys the other night.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it. Steve Sands, everybody. Golf Channel and NBC Sports. Again, just a tremendous coverage. You know, golf fan, not a golf fan. Tuned in just because it happened to be here locally. I mean, it was an absolute A-plus event. Just a total home run. Even if you were pulling for somebody else, you know, maybe you're a Spieth person or a Mickelson or a Schauffele. Like, it just didn't get any better than that.
We're all guessing who the athletes are that texted him during, right?
I'm guessing Tiger.
Oh, you are?
I am. But he did say other
sports. No big deal, just Tiger Woods texting me.
Yeah, no big deal. No big deal. But he did say other sports now. I mean, we did have this conversation with him when we were a couple of beers deep at Rockies. But still, he's got quite the Rolodex there. These golfers, especially because NBC also does the Tahoe event.
Oh,
so
dude, another
it's a lot of fun stuff. It was great to see him. And it was really, more importantly than any of our old shenanigans, was just the way this was presented on television. It was amazing. Well,